to both counsel. The court will proceed to the third case of the day, Dubai versus Ball State University. Mr. Gratke.
May it please the court, Judge Bauer, Judge Flom, Judge Sykes, counsel. My name is Alan Gratke, and I represent the employee appellant in this matter. This case is before you today on an appeal from a decision by Judge Barker in the Southern District of Indiana, which granted summary judgment to the defendant appellee. We believe this is a case of mixed motive workplace sex discrimination, where the employer discriminated against the employer in terms of her wages, hours, and terms and conditions of employment. The issue is whether the appellant has presented sufficient evidence or raised inferences in the record of a prima facie sexual discrimination case sufficient to defeat summary judgment. In the lower court, Judge Barker held that the plaintiff had not established the second and the fourth prongs of the McDonnell-Douglas burden-shifting standard. Judge Barker held that she did not prove that she was meeting her employer's legitimate performance expectations and did not prove that she was treated less favorably than similarly situated male graduate students. However, with respect to the similarly situated discriminatory action, it is discriminatory and we believe illegal for an employer to raise the bar on an employee because of her sex and then, because of these higher expectations, preclude the employee from meeting those legitimate employer performance expectations. We believe that if a plaintiff produces sufficient evidence to raise the inference that the employer did in fact raise the bar and did apply its legitimate expectations in a disparate manner, that the second and fourth prongs of the McDonnell burden-shifting standard should merge. And that should then allow the plaintiff to establish a prima facie case by establishing that similarly situated employees were treated more favorably. Now, with respect to similarly situated, there were similarly situated employees here. There were two fellow doctoral students, and for the sake of the record, I'll call them Momo and Pi, and a fellow master's level student, Timothy Jarr. In fact, in the lower court, Judge Baker held that Mr. Jarr was similarly situated when comparing working conditions. In the instant case, plaintiff produced, we feel, sufficient evidence when she outlined how she had been subjected to different working conditions which were more stringent than those applied to males, whether similarly situated or not. In a letter from the plaintiff dated January 23, 2002, to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission and contained in the record as an exhibit to the answers to Zubay's interrogatories, plaintiff noted 28 ways in which she was treated less favorably than similarly situated males. Because of these more onerous working conditions, and because she was required to work more hours than similarly situated males, she was unable to meet her employer's legitimate performance expectations. As a result of all of this, we are respectfully requesting, that the lower court's grant of summary judgment in favor of the defendant be set aside and that this case be remanded to the district court for further proceedings.
Thank you, Mr. Brody. Mr. Shockley?
May it please the court, counsel. Good morning. My name is Scott Shockley. I represent Ball State University. This is a Title VII case with a different sort of twist. As counsel has correctly pointed out, the dispositive issue in the court below in the district court was whether or not the plaintiff had satisfied the university's legitimate expectations for her. And in one sense, she did, because she was a graduate student and a graduate assistant. And in terms of her working for the university, for the professor she was assigned to, everyone concluded, and we would concede, that she performed her job as a graduate assistant quite well.
She just didn't keep up her grades.
And fortunately for her, that's the other aspect of what we were entitled to expect from her, and that she knew when she accepted the graduate assistantship, and it's not just for graduate assistants, it's for students in the graduate and the doctoral program across the board. And when she signed her agreement for the graduate assistantship, it had a stipulation that she would maintain a 3.2 grade average. There was a memorandum circulated to all graduate students that this was what anybody in the graduate program had to maintain, and if they didn't do so, they would be dismissed. And of course, she didn't do so. She disputes how that happened. She has a lot of self-serving testimony in her deposition and in her affidavit in opposition to our motion for summary judgment, but she never came up with any evidence to support her view of how or why this happened. She contends that male graduate students were not required to work as much as her, but as she candidly admitted to us in her deposition, how much she thinks male graduate students had to work is merely a guess. She had no evidence. She took no depositions of those male graduate students to attempt to establish just how much they worked. And although she sort of recreated what she believed were her own working hours, and they were somewhat in excess of the 20 hours she was told would be expected of her, she simply has no evidence and submitted no evidence to Judge Barker to dispute the contentions of the university that graduate students work varying hours, and graduate students may well exceed 20 hours in a given week, have fewer than 20 hours in a given week, and they're simply, as many of her professors that she was assigned to work for testified in their affidavits, the nature of that kind of work is such that it is subject to a great variety.
Forgive me if I missed something. I don't think I saw any place where she alleged that the grade position was based on her gender, that they lowered her grade because she was a woman.
She did contend that in the court below, but I don't believe she has on appeal here, Judge. She went through,
you know, why she got the lower grade was contested, but not the fact that the grade itself was improperly assessed. Is that an issue in this court?
It's not an issue before this court. It was an issue she appealed it within the university. Interestingly, throughout the entire process, she never claimed her gender was a factor.
But not here.
That's correct. So she's not, in effect, she's not asking you to sit as a board to review
then
the grading.
Then as a throwaway problem. Line, what difference does it make what the reason for her inability to make the 3.2 average is, from our point of view?
From your point of view?
Yeah.
I think it's only important if she could establish that it was because of her gender.
Well, yeah, but we've already established that it wasn't, that she didn't raise that issue. She said she was being pushed around.
Well, her contention was that she was required to work so much.
I understand that.
Yeah. That
but that wouldn't have anything to do with your grade point. You could work 100 hours a week and still maintain a 3.2, or an hour and a half a week in that.
True.
So that depends on the ability of the worker.
Correct. And I believe it's also, although I'm not certain this is clear from the briefs, I believe it was true from her testimony and her deposition that in the second semester after she was put on academic probation because of her grades, she in fact cut back on her work, and so she wasn't working to this excessive amount that she initially claimed. She didn't even work for one of the professors, Dr. Wiedmer, that she had in the fall semester. So I'm not sure that explanation would even apply to her second semester grades, which in and of themselves were also
My point is, does the explanation have anything to do with the case before us?
I don't think it does. No, I mean, there's a gap in her logic that seems to be, it was apparent in the district court. We think Judge Barker correctly concluded that she did not meet the legitimate expectations of the university. The opinion, the judgment in the district court sort of gave passing reference to the question of pretext. It really wasn't dispositive in the case below, but had Judge Barker reached that, we believe that on that basis as well, the judgment would have been in favor of the university, simply that the university's explanation for what it did here was an honest explanation. There was never any question that it didn't apply this 3.2 grade average requirement uniformly to men and women. And that would have carried the day if need be, but she never established a prima facie case, so we never got that far. And we'd urge this court to affirm Judge Barker's decision.
Right, thank you, Mr. Shockley. Ms. Grattis? Thank you.
Is there a suggestion, sir, any place in the record up here or in the briefs up here that says that the grades that were distributed to the lady in question were reduced because of her gender?
No, Your Honor. I don't see that. But with respect to the question that you raised, she is contending that because she had to work more than similarly situated males.
Well, that's why she got her explanation.
That's correct. That's correct.
But an excuse for having... for whatever reason, that she didn't make the grade doesn't make the grade.
She didn't make the grade.
Right.
No. And again, her reason is because she was overworked. She does feel that she has established this prima facie case. She feels that prongs 2 and 4 should mesh, and that she should then be able to go ahead and show that she was treated differently than similarly situated.
How are we to arrive at that, Ms. Cracky? If we have her suggestion that whatever hours she worked were excessive, but we don't have a baseline to compare with those that she feels work less. So, aren't we at sea a little bit on this?
Yes, we are, Judge Flom. That has posed a bit of a dilemma for us, too. And throughout the briefs and our discussions with Attorney Shockley, we tried to figure this out because she, quite frankly, admitted she does not know how many hours other graduate students worked or the master's level graduate students work. I don't know that that was important. We are looking for a baseline here, but I don't know that that's important because she is saying that she worked a whole lot more hours. She was scheduled for 22 hours. The other graduate students were scheduled for 20 hours. She is saying, by her own recollection, and there were no time slips taken, that she worked on average 40 hours a week. This was referenced in her deposition. She says at times she worked 50 to 60 hours in her week.
But when have so few others to compare, were they not accessible for the purposes of the deposition?
We're not.
I mean, we're talking only about a handful of.
I know, Your Honor, and.
I don't want to lawyer the case, obviously, but I'm wondering why we have that gap. I'm assuming in this community they were available.
Judge Flom, from our standpoint, they were. We've raised the issue. These issues have not been fleshed out. We have raised them. They have not been refuted by the employer. And that's why we feel that this case should be remanded to the district court for further proceedings.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.